Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. This is James Kennison. Welcome to a very special episode of That Story Show. It's just called our alternative episodes. It's when me and John and David can't get together to record. I had an opportunity to record with Austin Reason of Noobs in the Whovian podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Take care. Hi, folks. Welcome to a very special edition of That Story Show. We don't even have a name for it yet. It's just bonus interviews with random listeners who have awesome stories. And that's exactly what we're doing today, brought to you the week of October 4th, 2018. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. With me today is a great young man named Austin Reason. Welcome to the show, Austin.
Hello. It's good to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Now, some of our listeners may know Austin from a story that he told a while back about a possum digging a hole up through his particle board floor in his trailer. and that was a story from, gosh, what, 10 years ago?
It was like 2007 or 8 or something like that. It was in the that email archive show.
Yeah, I'm sorry it took so long to get to your email. There is literally no excuse for how terrible that was that it took that long.
What's great about that is that I had sent a voicemail story a couple of weeks ago, and then I got about a week later, I got an email saying, thanks for your great story or something, you know, we'll be featuring it on the show. And I thought it was in response to that one that I had just sent in. And then I tune in and I hear you reading an email I don't even remember sending.
Really?
I do not remember sending it at all. I'm sure that, you know, 12 years ago I sent it in and said, well, I guess it didn't make the cut or whatever. Oh. And I literally have children who weren't alive when I wrote that email that are now in middle school. So
that's a wonderful story and evidence of a terrible podcast host at the same time. So, speaking of children and podcasting, my understanding is that you do a show with your kids. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I do. I've got three little boys, and the older two do a podcast with me called Noobs and the Whovian. This was an idea. Just backstory on me. I have, since finding your podcast, by the way, Nobody's Listening was the very first podcast I ever listened to.
I'm sorry.
No, I found it. You were 20 episodes in or something like that. And I discovered this thing called podcasts and found Killer Salsa of all things.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately said, I'm going back to the first episode and been listening ever since then. And ever since then have wanted to do a podcast and I didn't want to do one for no reason, just to do one.
Right.
But I came up with a great idea that I couldn't get to work. I wanted it to be called The Noob and the Whovian because I had never seen a single episode of Doctor Who.
Okay.
And so I wanted to find somebody who was an old school, you know, knew all the episodes inside and out. And we would watch it each week. And then I would talk about my reactions as a noob. And they would give me all the cool details and backstory as the Whovian.
Okay.
And I couldn't find anyone. Everyone that I thought would be the perfect match said, no, I've never seen Doctor Who or what's a podcast or things like that. And so, I don't know, 3 years went by and in the meantime, I gave up and just started watching the show on my own and then realized I had seen all of new Doctor Who.
Right.
And my kids hadn't. And I said, wait a minute, they're the noobs.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that's seen it all now. So I flipped the script around on it. And so now they're the noobs. I'm the Whovian. And I admit on the show, I'm only the Whovian in as much as I've seen all the episodes once.
Right. Right. Now, how old are your boys?
So the older two that actually do the show with me are 13 and 11. Okay. The younger one is 7, and he couldn't care less about Doctor Who, about Star Trek, about anything that we turn on sci-fi. He just leaves the room. He's just not interested. So I did not invite him to do the podcast.
So when I started introducing my kids to Doctor Who, we made it all the way up to the episode with the boy with the gas mask on, which is a great episode.
The Silent Child.
Yeah. So are you my mummy? How did your boys handle that one? Because that one gave my daughter nightmares for weeks.
How old was she at the time?
Probably 9 or 10.
Okay. Yeah. So they were like 10 and 12 when they saw it. And I prepared them for it. I said, guys, just so you know. And when the gas mask first starts coming out of the Dr. Constantine's mouth.
Yeah.
And it's just horrifying. But yeah, when when we're done with a season, we do a season recap and talk about our favorite moments and our favorite episodes. And that two-parter was the most referenced episode that we talked about in our series recap. It had like our favorite moment and our favorite, you know, CGI and the best, you know, the scariest moment and everything.
That's great. So, yeah. I love Doctor Who for many reasons, but one of them is they can take the most outlandish, seemingly ghost-like or spiritual kind of thing, the most unexplainable, off-the-wall thing. And the first episode of the new series back in, I think it was 2005, right? With the plastic coming alive and all that is a perfect example. They will take the weirdest, wonkiest thing, and by the time the episode's over, you're like, that's plausible.
Everything, right. Oh yeah.
It's absolutely completely possible that could have happened.
After the first time I watched Blink, I couldn't turn my back on a statue anywhere I went. I just, you know, we actually have a running list on our show of all of the alien versions of spooky things that you're talking about. So we've had alien werewolves, we've had alien vampires, we've had alien ghosts. Just
robots and
And it's, you know, like you said, what's that thing that's just in the corner of your eye, you know, the chill on the back of your neck? It's always aliens. It's all aliens. So we always look forward to, we're going to have space vampires, you know, we're going to have a space werewolf, you know.
That's true. That's very true. There's definitely a lot of that on there. Great show, by the way, folks. If you've not checked out Doctor Who and you love sci-fi and you've just been putting it off, stop. I know people that won't watch Doctor Who just because there's so many people telling them to watch Doctor Who.
Right.
And I was one of those people. And
I was that guy.
And I started watching it, and I tell people give it 3 episodes minimum.
Yep.
But then after that, you're not going to want to stop. And there's so much stuff. There's so many good.
I have found in rewatching it is whenever we come across one and I see the title and I do an internal groan of, oh man, I don't like this kind of an episode. But now I got to watch it because I'm doing a podcast about it. We do every episode, and then we watch it, and then I'm like, this was so good. Yeah. Like, you know, even the ones that I don't want to watch again, creative. I end up getting sucked in. So,
so creative. So tell us how we could find your show.
So you go to noobsandthewhovian.com, N-O-O-B-S, noobs. And you can also find us facebook.com/noobsandthewhovian. So you can message us there, or you can, send us an email actually at noobsandthewhovian@gmail.com. And one of the things that our tagline is that we're the show that introduces a whole new generation to Doctor Who by watching an episode each week and then talking about it from the perspective of a dad who's seen it before and 2 sons who haven't. So the idea is we want it to be a family thing, you know, come on and let it be the reason, let it be the excuse for why you've never seen it. Well, now you've got this podcast you can listen to. And you can watch it with your kids and then listen to the podcast and that kind of thing.
Very nice. So folks could literally start at the beginning of the show and watch along with you and still feel like they're part of the experience. How many episodes are you in?
We are 36 episodes, podcast episodes.
That's impressive. But
whenever we have a two-parter, we do it as one podcast episode because it's, you know, one story. And then we've also done a couple that we call Wibbly Wobbly, where we do a little, it's just a once-off where we talk about a time travel story.
Okay.
So the first one, we talked about the movie Meet the Robinsons, Back to the Future. We did a Star Trek episode that was, you know, a Deep Space Nine episode that was about time travel. And so those are just kind of fun things. And then we do the season recaps. So we're about halfway through season three, I believe. And so we started it 2005 with the revival. So it's starting from the new Who. We didn't do any classic Who yet.
Right.
We're thinking about doing that when we catch up, and then, which will never happen because it's still on the air, but so you can get caught up, and then each week, you know, just watch the next episode or the next two, if it's a two-parter.
So it's family friendly then, I assume.
Absolutely. It's a clean podcast.
Your kids don't swear at you or anything like
that. We bleep them when they do.
All right. So, I want to say thanks for, coming on, and before you get into your story, just a quick explanation of what the whole point is here, what we want to start doing. I was inspired of all things by FilmSack. It's one of my favorite podcasts personally. They are very consistent in the amount of podcasts that they put out, which is very impressive because there's four different hosts and all four of them make it to nearly every episode. When they can't, though, they still put out a show. And I don't like the shows they put out because, well, it's...
Or is it the live?
They do like the live film sacking, yeah.
Where they're my favorites either, yeah.
Where you're supposed to watch along. I've never done it, never synced up my end of the Netflix stream to theirs and listen to them do it. It's just not my bag of chips because I usually am working or doing something while I'm listening.
While you're listening, yeah.
Yeah, I can't sit down.
I've done it twice. Do one time I sat down and watched with them and I found that I wasn't watching the movie. I was just listening to them. So then I tried doing it just listening to them, but then I realized I didn't know what they were talking about because I couldn't see.
Right. Well, that's interesting. That answers the questions I would have had to find out. But right. The idea behind it is that when they can't all get together, they still have something to put out on the feed. And I wanted to do that, except I wanted it to be a lot like what the podcast actually is. And I've always wanted to have listeners and other people on, but maybe. Maybe not for a whole show, you know, maybe there are celebrities that I could get that I can't get because they can't do a whole show. And there are listeners that I want to have on, but they've got a story and that's it, you know? So this was like the perfect solution is I'm going to record these 20-minute, you know, 30-minute interview / story times with different folks and post those, maybe, you know, cram two of them together into one, and that'll make a 40-minute, you know, broadcast, and it won't be, you know, that story show, but it's in the same spirit, in the same vein. And
yeah, it'll be a one-off.
Say what?
I said, yeah, it'll just be a little one-off.
Oh,
just
yeah. I thought you said it'd be a little bit off, and I'm like, oh, don't say that about yourself yet. Okay, so recapping his old story again. Apparently, Austin grew up in a trailer, much like I did. And his one night he had a possum show up in his closet, and he shut the thing in there. Before you tell your story, I'll tell the story I wanted to say when we shared it on our podcast. Is my brother David, had a possum get up in the, cause we grew up in a trailer too. His possum, came up through the ventilation that's in the floors and was pushing on the ground vent, trying to get out. And in David's in the bathroom, you know, disrobed and feeling very vulnerable. But this possum's determined to get in. Apparently, you know, the ventilation runs underneath, you know, with pipes and stuff underneath. and apparently something was open or it had chewed through the filter or something like that. And so David's idea to get rid of this possum was to turn up the hot water and take the shower head and just start just pumping hot, steaming hot water down the air vent, which I'm sure was great for everything involved. Great for the possum, great for the trailer, the water, getting the floor wet.
Good for the floor itself.
Good for the air conditioner, you know. So I always thought that was hilarious that that was the answer. And just flush it out with some boiling hot water. But it worked. It worked. So apparently possums love crawling up into trailers. But today you got a different story that you promised you would send in 10 years ago or whatever it was, 12 years ago, maybe, about bugs.
Yeah. So James and I were sort of commiserating about these terrible bugs. Some people call them roaches.
Yeah.
We always called them water bugs. You reminded me that some people call them palmetto bugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're
is
gross.
Is that palmetto like South Carolina palmetto state?
Like Georgia palmettos. Yeah. They like to hang out wherever there's a lot of cover. Like underneath a live oak tree or underneath a palmetto bush. And yeah, they look like giant roaches. And for all intents and purposes, when I was growing up, there was no difference. They were just giant, horrible roaches.
And you think we're exaggerating when we say giant, but I mean like the size of a grown man's thumb.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Because when we were in Florida, we had a giant oak tree with about literally a foot and a half of leaves underneath it. And they just would come into the house in a steady stream. And to trick my wife, even once I got rid of all the brush and we got rid of our problem, I would stick my thumb into a plastic trash bag and rip off whatever came off, and a dome shaped, thumb shaped black, oval would be formed. And I would place those strategically around the house to freak her out. And yeah, exactly the shape of a thumb. And some of them can look downright tribal. Like they'll have shapes or not shapes, but patterns
on their backs,
backs and stuff. And they can fly to a certain extent. So, not many people know that, but if you get one cornered, and you see one on your piano, for instance, it and try to scare it, it might.
Okay. Well, so I didn't know they could fly.
Yeah.
I was not aware of this.
They don't do very well, but they can.
The thing about these that, you know, everybody would say, oh, it's a roach. And I would say, no, it's not a roach. Cause you never see one roach. You've never in your life seen one roach.
Right. Right.
You've seen a dozen roaches. You've seen, you know, a hundred of them scatter, but these palmetto bugs, have you ever seen more than one at one time?
Only once or twice, and that's because of that situation we were in. But you're right. Real roaches have a purpose. They're there for your stuff. Palmetto bugs, when they come in, it's almost like an accident. Like they're just wandering around, you know?
And when you cut the lights on or walk into a room, roaches scatter. Palmetto bugs are like, what's up, man?
Yeah, exactly.
Are we hanging out? Like, what's on Netflix?
Well, that's because you can step on them and it'll do nothing to some of them.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing is if you go to whack it with a fly swatter, good luck. You know, they're going to be like, hey, can I borrow that? Cause there's some mosquitoes bothering me. I mean, they are springy, maybe would be the right word. I mean, like if you whack them, sometimes they're running,
like a Stretch Armstrong. They have a lot of juice in them.
So you got your shoe or your sandal in your hand and you're trying to whack it. So you find yourself running around the house, just slapping the floor over and over again, because even if you manage to get it, it will just keep running.
It's running.
It only stops running as long as your shoe is covering it. And then as soon as you pick up, it's running again. So you have to if you're going to kill it on a carpet, you got to like step on it with your foot and then like twist.
Grind.
I mean, there's no,
exactly.
There's no tapping it. There's no stunning them either.
No.
Like some bugs, you can like a fly, you can hit it in midair and it'll like knock it to the ground and stun it, and then you go over and kill it. Not these suckers, man. They're gonna run, they're gonna move. And so again, so not only did we live in this trailer, but we lived in a trailer that backed up against a swamp.
Oh boy.
Now, so this was Chesapeake, Virginia. This is near Virginia Beach.
Okay.
So when I say swamp, we're not talking like swamp thing swamp, like down in the bayou with like the hanging moss and mist everywhere. Basically, a tidewater swamp just meant standing water with grass growing through it.
Blech.
But it was all protected by city ordinance because, I don't know, we were destroying the wetlands.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was preserved. So you would have these little pockets. So developers would come in and build these neighborhoods ringed around these things. So behind our privacy fence was a swamp. And there was nothing you could do about it except just, you know, listen to the frogs at night, you know, and that was about it. And it meant you were going to get the worst mosquitoes. You were going to get every kind of rodent.
Yes.
And again, we might not have even had all the problems if we'd have been in a brick built house, but we were in a cardboard trailer, you know,
right.
Old school, single wide, you know, pick it up and take it out of town for the hurricane, you know, paper mache building. Like I said, the possum was able to easily tear, you know, chew its way through my floor, the entire subfloor, all the way through the insulation and everything, right into my closet. So one night I'm there in my room, in the same room where the possum, you know, got into the closet, and I was just watching TV. It's probably, you know, 11 o'clock at night or something like that. I'm a teenager. And I see one of these little bugs. And again, you don't ever see them in a hurry, really. And, you know, until you start stomping, they're not in a hurry. They're all just right, moving along, chilling out. Like I said, hey, what's good on TV tonight? You know, we got popcorn. What are we doing? Are we hanging out? Let's order some pizza. And goes walking by me. And I said, I was just over it. I had killed one after the other, after the other. Like I said, you never see more than one at a time. But you never see less than one at a time. Have you ever noticed that? You kill one, and then the next day there's another one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, like we used to always joke about, you know, like
he's
one time
looking for the first one.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, I said he's looking for the first guy. So
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you kill one, and then the next day a smaller one shows up, and it's like he was looking for paw. Like where'd he go? And so that's what happened. Is I had killed a few, you know, one per day kind of thing, and here comes this smaller one than I had seen recently. And it comes just sort of scurrying by. And I was like, that's it. I've had it. So I grabbed my shoe and it literally parked itself right in front of that closet door where the possum had been probably a month earlier. This is probably right around the same time. And I go over and you know that move that you do where you've kind of got your fly swatter or your newspaper rolled up or your shoe or whatever. And you got it down low and then you sort of like jerk it back and then smack them. And inevitably, when you jerk it back, that's when the fly leaves or the wasp takes off or whatever. So this, you know, this thing's land bound. So I pull back, getting ready to smack, and I'm gonna hit it hard because my floor is carpeted.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So you got to make it count. You got to hit it hard.
You got to bust it all the way through to the subfloor. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't, you know, you hit it and you don't bounce. You hit it and then you drive it down. And so I do that pullback maneuver, and then, like I said, I'd never seen one of these things do anything.
Oh, it took off on you?
It did. It did like a pheasant.
Yes. Where,
you know how they go straight up, and then they turn on you?
They unfold themselves.
It's like they've got like six pairs of wings hidden in there. So this thing comes. So it's, by the way, his head is faced away from me towards the closet door. I go to swing, and it was like that swing was like, oh, it's on. And this thing jumped straight up and then did a 180. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I was like watching Bumblebee come up in attack mode. It did a 180 and came directly at my face. Listen, it was not retreating.
No,
it was not dodging. This sucker said, oh, I thought we were roommates. What's the shoe for, man? Like That's funny. Right at my face. So at 11 PM at night, I'm already like got the TV turned down low and I'm worried that me slapping the floor is going to wake everybody up. Well, instead, everybody got it woken up to this thing comes, I mean, flew right at me and I'm ducking. And then because I ducked in a panic, I didn't see where it went.
Right.
And it just all of a sudden it just took off, you know, and I was like, and I didn't care. I ducked and then I opened up my bedroom door and I ran out of my bedroom door. And like my stepsister was still awake. She comes out of her bedroom. She says, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "They've evolved.
They
came back for vengeance.
They've got flight. Oh my gosh."
Yeah. So you're the first person I've ever heard say they know how to fly. I've never seen it. And by the way, they don't really fly. They fly like a grasshopper flies.
Right, right.
Where they just sort of flap real hard so they can kind of jump.
They hover. Yeah. It's like they can lift off and then just kind of slowly flutter back down. But man, you're right. They totally unfold all these inner wings and they turn into this nasty thing that you would never want to touch your face in a million years. But
oh yeah, yeah, it came like right from my left eyeball, you know. And then not only is it goes from this thing that was completely still on the floor
and harmless
to like a flurry of motion all at one time.
I don't even think they know they can fly until a moment like that.
I don't think they do.
Their mutant powers activate because they don't act like they know how to fly. They just like all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's never happened before. Nobody, and I told my family, and they're like, "You're lying. It didn't fly.
Oh, they fly."
Nobody had seen it before. And so bring it all back around to your black trash bag trick. You remember how you really got Jen with that? You told the story that you had set it under a cup or something.
Right, right.
And so when she picked up the cup, the whoosh of air from the cup made that thing jump up at her and, you know, and freak out and everything. When you told that story, I immediately thought, well, no, they actually can do that.
So they can. They will
attack.
I found out they could fly the first time we had some babysitters over. They were actually just the neighbors. My parents had conned them somehow, an older couple, into coming over to our house. And we were going to show off for them. They're sitting on the couch all the way across the living room in the trailer when the piano is on the very opposite side. And so we go to open some sheet music and this flipping palmetto bug just takes flight and goes straight as an arrow, perfect control flight, and goes straight between those two old people's heads, and their heads just part like the Red Sea as they duck to let this thing pass. And it hits the television that's behind them, and we can't find it, but there's three white trash kids all of a sudden, us, you know, me and my sisters, digging around for it. Yeah, we got to kill it. We got to get rid of it. Yeah. Right.
Got to take care of it. Oh. Get it out of here.
One night, I was laying in that same trailer, because I grew up in a double wide with a single wide trailer attached to it.
Right, just sort of welded on where they cut through the wall.
They just cut holes wherever the doors were so you could just kind of walk through the crack. And the water was always pouring in between the two. We got up there and tried to patch it and all that. Anyway, so bugs just had, it was just known. So I'm laying in bed and I feel a crunchiness on my neck. And that's the thing about these jokers. If you've ever, you look them up, if you don't know, they have freaking batarang spikes, like Batman's gauntlets on their legs. You know, they are crunchy. And this thing had gotten and crawled in to my neck, like between my, you know, under my ear in that crease there. And I'm asleep and I go from asleep to absolutely alert. And all I can know to do, rather than absolutely freak out, and then, like you said, it goes down my shirt or it goes somewhere I don't know where it is.
Now it's in your pillowcase.
I just cupped it with my hand, and I just flung it just as hard as I could because I knew it would fly away somewhere far away and get lost, and immediately went back to sleep. But that's just what you got to do, man. You in the middle of the night, you can't think straight. You're just like, I just don't want this crunchy thing on me. I can't smash it because it'd be on my body. So, Southern kids are, you know, they're exposed to a lot different things than other parts of the country.
So we're here in Texas now. That was all back in Virginia, but we live in Texas now, and I hadn't seen those bugs since we left Tidewater and lived all around Virginia and North Carolina. Now we're here in Dallas. And, you know, I said if we'd have been in a you know, brick building, we probably wouldn't have had as many of the critter problems. Well, here we are in a nice brick building, nowhere near a swamp to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And stinking palmetto bugs are in our house.
They,
and it's the same thing.
They just wander in.
You only see one at a time.
They don't know.
And so one night, our oldest Corbin, who's, you know, from our, you know, he's the audio engineer for our podcast.
Oh,
this guy, he comes out of his bedroom kind of freaking out a little bit. And I'm like, what's going on? One of those bugs had crawled up the ceiling or up the wall and dropped directly on his head. He's laying in bed. I don't even remember if the lights were out yet. I think they were, which makes it even worse. So he's laying in bed trying to go to sleep, and one of those bugs landed directly on his face.
So gross.
And he just freaked out. He was like, I had to just burn that bed. Now we're done with that. You know? And I was like, well, I kind of don't agree. I mean, I don't disagree with you on that one.
But throw acid on my face. I want to grow new skin.
The eyebrows will grow back. Burn it. Burn it now.
Burn it all.
So, but he survived. It's like you said, you know, Southern kids kind of come up with some of this stuff. I'm like, look, you survived your worst nightmare.
Yeah, we don't seem to have them. There are things that kind of look like them, but they're more like beetles. And
yeah.
and they're roach. They look roach like, but they're beetles. And for some reason, they don't come in the house and they don't bother anybody. They just, you just see them kind of crawling around. And
since those sound awesome,
and since they're more like beetles, I don't have a hatred of them, you know?
Right.
And so I'm happy to coexist with the beetle roaches. It's great. But in Florida, one of my last experiences with the palmetto bug was, I don't remember how it started. I just remember how it ended. My wife was in the room in our bedroom. I was changing my shirt, and apparently one was on my shirt, and I took off the shirt and it flew and then reattached itself back onto me. And of course,
it was happy there.
I immediately start doing the most insane panic dance, you know, that you've ever seen a fat man do, trying to whisk this thing away. And it flies off again, and like a boomerang, comes right back and hits the calf of my leg and starts scurrying north.
Oh, no.
And it got underneath the pant leg of my shorts. And, dude, I stripped down to nothing right there. I was freaking out. I had to have this thing off of me. So my wife is laughing so hard, and it was the weirdest thing she'd probably ever had to see, and she was in tears, and so was I. Actually, I was in tears too because
that bug liked you.
I was naked and ashamed, and I was afraid. So yeah, man, parents, protect your children from the dangers of water bugs, palmetto bugs. And my wife in Florida, when we had the tree, I would tell her they're not here for your soul or anything. They're just water bugs. They're dumb. They just kind of wander in. I don't care. They're roaches and they're scary and they're terrible. Oh, she hated them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I try and instill in the kids. And you know, when I was a teenager and I was at home, I would tell people they're not roaches, you know, they're water bugs, they're palmetto bugs, because you know, there's so much stigma with roaches. And so now that they're back in my life, I'm doing the same thing. I'm telling my kids, I'm like, don't go to school and tell your teacher about the roaches in your house.
Well, see, that's the last bit is you can spray for roaches, but these jokers will walk right past your little line of defense.
You're not there.
And they might act a little drunk. Like they might run away a little slower. But I think it just kind of gets them high. I don't think it actually kills
them. My wife sprayed one with like Hot Shot or something.
Yeah.
I mean, like not a defense perimeter, like sprayed it. And she said it just slowly walked in circles for a few minutes.
Yeah, they're just like whoa.
Yeah, absolutely. So they are not roaches. They are one at a time.
They are
roaches. Maybe a pair of them you might see. And also never different sizes. I mean, they're very uniform. Yeah. It's like, do they not have babies? Or do they just pop into existence
That's
fully
true.
Grown?
I never thought about that. Maybe they're like aliens where they deposit something into another animal and then it just emerges from their chest.
We've come full circle. We've got alien werewolves, alien mummies. We now have alien bugs. That's what it is.
I'm telling you, with those tribal markings, that's what we used to call them. It was like sometimes we would get one that was aged. It was just, you could just tell it was, it wasn't shiny anymore. It had been around for eons. It had seen
things, man.
And it had markings on it. And I'm like, there's a whole freaking tribal colony out there underneath the oak tree. And it's like Pandora. I destroyed their life tree. And we had no problems after that. But
I was saying it was like the tattoos from, what's the guy's name on Moana? Oh, dang it.
Oh, Maui.
Maui. Yeah. His, you know, how each, you know, tattoo tells a story. You know, markings.
This is the time I climbed up that guy's leg.
Yeah, this one's from a Nike. It was a high top. That was a rough day. Let me tell you. This one's from some Reebok pumps in the mid-90s. I've seen things.
Gosh, great story, man. Thank you for sharing it with us, Austin.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me around.
And thanks for being my guinea pig as the first guy to do this. I'd love to have you back sometime. And do another one. It'd be great. So tell us about your show again. It's called Noobs and the Whovian, and they can find it where?
It's noobsandthewhovian.com. We went back and forth about whether it was the Noobs and the Whovian or Noobs and the Whovian, and I think we settled on no the. So it's just mainly because it's just impossibly too long to just keep adding letters to. So facebook.com/noobsandthewhovian. Noobsandthewhovian.com. Noobsandthewhovian.com is not impressive right now. Right now, it's basically a coming soon page that will point you to our feed because.
Yeah, the feed's the important part.
So, that's right.
But they can look you up on their favorite podcast app.
Exactly. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. We're not on Spotify because they're snobs.
Yes, they are.
We're on pretty much everything else that we could find. I actually found I did a search for Noobs and the Whovian when we were trying to decide on the name of the show. Believe it or not, Google zero. Noobs and the Whovian in quotation marks returned zero hits on the entire internet a year ago.
Wow.
And I ran a search again the other day and just to see if our site was coming up. And I found us on some other podcasting aggregation site that I've never even heard of. And half of it was in like Japanese or something. So we're on that network, whatever that is.
Believe me, after doing the show for 10 plus years, that story show and nobody's listening has been re-scrapped and reused and in every way possible. You just wouldn't believe. Since we stopped using nobody's listening, there's like a half a dozen nobody's listenings out there now, including.
Yeah, I was kind of sad about that.
Yeah, Paula Poundstone, has a show called Nobody's Listening to Paula Poundstone.
Only 90s Batman, Paula Poundstone.
I know. What the heck? Well, that and Murphy Brown. Have you seen any of the ads? They're bringing back Murphy Brown. So I don't know.
Oh, sure. Everything old is new again.
I guess it is. Well, thank you again for coming on and sharing that great story. I had a blast, and I can't wait to do this again with another listener or a celebrity like Ethan. I consider Ethan Nicole a celebrity, and he has such a few years ago when we were doing Chop, it was no big deal for him to just sit down and record with us. Now he's got two kids and stepkids and a life and a wife and everything. And so this kind of format works a lot better for people like
you. It'd be a lot easier to grab a hold of folks. And I just got to say, James, you know, we started recording our podcast, I think, May of last year. And it took us a while to actually get them live. I wanted to make sure that we had a few in the can before we actually started posting them.
That's wise.
And so we've been recording for we should be way further down the road than 36 episodes is what I'm trying to say. We should have closer to 60 because it's hard. And like I said, it's been a dream of mine to be part of a podcast for a long time. And then I started doing it, and it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot that goes on the front end. It's a lot that goes on the back end. No part of it is short or simple.
Right.
And so I,
and it can be lonely. It can be lonely too.
Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah. Anybody who's listening to this and hearing about Noobs and the Whovian for the first time, be the first one to leave us a review or send us an email. We literally have not heard from anyone.
Oh my gosh. People, please.
We have inbox zero at noobsandthewhovian@gmail.com.
Oh, you know, so somebody. We have the best listeners in the world. Absolutely. Somebody will take pity on you and go email him, like his page, and do all this stuff. He won't bother you. I'm promised he won't. Even if you hate him, just go do that stuff for him. Make his day. Hashtag MMD. Come on, man.
That's right. Yeah. So, and like you said, we wanted it to be a very interactive show. Mm-hmm. And so we're always throwing out stuff. So, hey guys, what do you think? What did you think of this episode? Or what was your favorite stuff from series one? When we got to the end of series one, we said, hey, we're going to do a recap. So everybody email us and tell us, what was your favorite episode? And what was nothing? And so we talked about our favorite stuff, and it was like, you know, we know, and the thing is, we know people are listening because we see the stats.
Yeah.
And we get a couple of dozen downloads. I mean, we're not even, I think it took us about 9 months to crack 1,000 total listens across all the episodes, you know? So it's, you know, slow going and that kind of thing. But I say all that to say that my respect level for the shows that you've done over the years has gone way up because you were the first show that I listened to. And then you introduced me to guys like Scott Johnson and Tom Merritt and all these guys, and you guys kill it every time. And I'm like, I don't want to go on and do some, you know, jackleg show. Like, so we tried to do it right. And when you do it right, it takes a lot of work. Yeah. It takes a lot of time. And you know, we don't always release an episode every single week because there was a band concert or there was a big,
well, your co-hosts are children. And their co-host is a dad. Yeah, so that's a hard mix right there. So
yeah, it's tough. So, but Corbin and Tripp, I did mention Corbin. Corbin is he mixes the episodes at
that's
the end
awesome.
And posts them. Tripp sets up the soundboard in the studio and gets our levels set and everything. So, I mean,
that's great.
I'm not doing it alone. They're helping out. It's amazing. And they do a great job of it. And it's the thing I keep telling myself is I'm like, you know what? If nobody downloaded another episode, I'm having a lot of fun watching the show with my kids.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping that other people that find the show will find that kind of connection with their kids and have that thing. You know, like every week we're going to sit down with dad or we're going to sit down with mom or we're going to sit down as a family and we're going to watch Doctor Who and that kind of thing. So,
well, guys, you've heard it there. Go check out Noobs and the Whovian and go ahead and buckle down and start watching that show go all the way from the beginning there in 2005 with Christopher Eccleston, one of the best doctors in my
opinion.
Don't
skip nine. He was much better. He was much better on second viewing. I'm telling you.
Oh yes. Yes. So, thanks again, for coming on and doing this and allowing me to, like I said, guinea pig you. And thanks for a great story. And we'll see everyone next time right here on That Story Show. God bless. And again, thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.